Hi, and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. The death toll is rising after two mass shootings in the United States of America over the weekend. And yes, they were just hours apart. President Trump calling for new red flag laws, as they say, and streamline capital punishment, saying we should come together to try to end such tragedies. There has been much finger pointing, as you can see, some samples from Twitter. Meanwhile, victims are being remembered and medical personnel and law enforcement lauded for their work on the front lines, which is still continuing. We'll be hearing some of President Trump's remarks throughout the show, and we will discuss with Michael Hart of Heart of America some of the political ramifications of finger pointing. Hate to talk about that. It is so silly in light of tragedies, but it is what is happening and what is trending. Also, Kristen Sinana Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network about the mental health aspects of some of these things that go on, these dark things. We start now with the president's remarks on what he wants to see happen right away.
Fourth, we must make sure that those judged to pose a grave risk to public safety do not have access to firearms, and that if they do, those firearms can be taken through rapid due process. That is why I have called for red flag laws, also known as extreme risk protection orders. Today, I'm also directing the Department of Justice to propose legislation ensuring that those who commit hate crimes and mass murders face the death penalty, and that this capital punishment be delivered quickly, decisively, and without years of needless delay. These are just a few of the areas of cooperation that we can pursue. I am open and ready to listen and discuss all ideas that will actually work and make a very big difference. Republicans and Democrats have proven that we can join together in a bipartisan fashion to address this plague. Last year, we enacted the Stop School Violence and Fix NICS Acts into law, providing grants to improve school safety and strengthening critical background checks for firearm purchases. At my direction, the Department of Justice banned bump stocks. Last year, we prosecuted a record number of firearms offenses. But there is so much more that we have to do. Now is the time to set destructive partisanship aside, so destructive, and find the courage to answer hatred with unity, devotion, and love. Our future is in our control. America will rise to the challenge. We will always have, and we always will, win. The choice is ours, and ours alone. It is not up to mentally ill monsters. It is up to us. If we are able to pass great legislation after all of these years, we will ensure that those who were attacked will not have died in vain. May God bless the memory of those who perished in Toledo. May God protect them. May God protect all of those from Texas to Ohio. May God bless the victims and their families. May God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Really heartfelt sentiments from the President of the United States on this Monday. He usually is quite game to take extra questions from the press. He did not during this somber hour. We are going to chat more about the finger pointing. President Trump, as you just saw, calling for bipartisan cooperation to try to come up with some real answers for mental health reform. And we're going to chat with that with Michael Hart about that. He is the purveyor of Heart of America, the host of that. And we will talk with Kristen Sinana Walker about some of the mental health aspects of what goes into this. No easy answers, for sure, complex, a tragedy in America, for sure. You're with America Trends.
Give me your attention, baby. I gotta tell you a little something about yourself.
Welcome back to America Trends. I'm your host, Amy Fuller. You are with U2 America and Biz Talk Radio. We do know that whenever mass shootings happen, and it's so sad that we have to say whenever because they do occur all too often for various reasons. Mostly, a lot of people would say mental health reasons, heart problems, soul problems, not necessarily gun problems, conservatives would say. Liberals would point to gun control issues and even to President Trump. So the politicalization of tragedy is trending right now, and people immediately jumped on board. Beto O'Rourke, one of the candidates for the Democratic ticket for 2020, is from El Paso, Texas, where one of the mass shootings occurred this weekend, and he jumped right on, and one news anchor asked him specifically, do you blame President Trump? And he said, I do. And it just gives all of us pause to think, my goodness, why not the person pulling the trigger or whatever weapon they might use? We are with Michael Hart right now with the Heart of America show. This airs daily, and you can find it very easily. You can go to www.michaelhartshow. He is also the author of a great book called Unknown America, and he now has the Unknown America Project, which you can sort of tune into and find online. Some really cool facts from America's great varied history. And Michael, thank you so much for being here. I always so look forward to when you are on.
Well, thank you, Amy. I appreciate it. It's been a long weekend and a lot going on. I think I told you last week that I had plans to head down to the coast of Alabama and spend some time with family and friends. And then Saturday, of course, you know, we started to get so much of the information about the events that unfolded over the weekend. So certainly a very heartbreaking time in America yet again.
Right. You are out of Birmingham, Alabama. And, you know, you can sort of forecast that maybe we'll be talking about a couple of the Democratic debates from last week that aired. CNN, right? And then the Jeffrey Epstein thing is still trending, and it's so weird. Michael, I hate to get into conspiracy theories, but they're there for a reason. I saw someone who's, you know, got great intellect and great instincts, and she said, watch for some things to happen because people will want to misdirect our attention from the disintegrating Democrats to something else. Then the mass shootings happen. So one thing trending are conspiracy theory is a conspiracy theory episode where people are saying, is it a false flag, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you hate to say that because there are real victims that happen. The death toll rising just today. And you were on vacation. You come back to this. What are your callers saying? And, you know, it's almost like a constant refrain. Mass shootings. What do we do about it?
Well, you know, Amy, as you pointed out, I broadcast every day at the heartofamerica.net network. It's online, but I did a terrestrial program for the better part of 12 or 13 years on 100,000 watt FM out of Birmingham, Alabama. And I've been covering this story for years. As you also point out, I'm a historian. I'm the author of Unknown America. And through the course of the years, you know, I love research. I love data. I love history. And the reality of it is that first off, anybody that blames Donald Trump for what occurred in Dayton and El Paso has no desire whatsoever to fix the problem. And I mean none, because I've been covering this story. It doesn't matter if it's here or Columbine or Paducah, Kentucky or Parkland or wherever it may be. It's the same narrative over and over and over again. And the political class simply pays lip service to it. And then we see, as you point out, the politicization of tragedy. You know, it's also interesting that since 1980 up until this weekend, we had 67 what are considered to be mass shooting events in America. 65 of the assailants were later found to have mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And you can see this corresponding in America. We have a mental health crisis. We've taken God out of the classrooms and Amen. Daddy out of the home, and the parents are no longer parenting their children. We've given them over to Facebook and social media where they're bullied. They don't understand what their genders are any longer. We've devalued life, whether or not it's devaluation of sexuality or gender or abortion or whatever the case may be. Their entire world is online in a fantasy world where there's no consequence. And then we have the audacity to wonder what the hell is going on in this country.
So true, Michael. And I love it when you get on a really truthful rant because it needs to be said. And we're going to be hearing a little bit more of President Trump's remarks from today. He does tackle social media and the mental health problem. And he has some specific areas he wants to target quickly. But to be sure, these ones from decades ago, obviously President Trump was not in the White House at that point. So why is everybody pointing fingers at him right now?
The Democrats are in an enormous amount of trouble, and they know it. And Trump is the same old, you know, he's the punching bag du jour this time around. You know, they've tried to impeach every single president since the 1950s. The Democrats have. You know, what's also interesting is they're screaming for Trump to do something, dear heavenly God and Father in heaven, do something. But who's the one doing all the screaming? It's the congressman. You know, legislation, you know, maybe they need to be told that it originates in the legislature. I mean, it's a good time for a civics lesson, is it not? The president of the United States, what would happen tomorrow? You know, we've heard all this rhetoric about, oh, my God, he's got his pen out and these executive orders galore. What if we had an executive order from Trump tomorrow just completely banishing guns from the American landscape? There would be holy heck to pay from the liberals on this particular issue. So, again, they have the power. They have the power to pass Obamacare when they had the House and the Senate. You see how long it took us to get any of that legislation passed? It's two-sided. It's completely weaponized. It's nothing but rhetoric. And how in the world do you call the president of the United States, for example, how do you call him a rhetoric and then talk about he's being a white supremacist, which in its very essence is a racist statement? So we've got Trump's a racist because of these comments he's made. So I'm going to use a racist statement to prove he's a racist. Again, we have weaponized thought in this country, and they're doing it with the gun debate today.
Congress members themselves seem to need a civics lesson on how it all goes down. And as you say, they really do need some everyone needs to have some sort of conversation about this racism, because I am so tired of people pointing to specific groups saying you're racist because you say this, when it's really just they are. I can't say it any better than you just said it, Michael. They are the ones making it such an issue.
Well, you know, we've been hearing all day long about that, you know, Trump's rhetoric has inspired violence in America. And then you have Amy Klobuchar come out and he talk about how he's a racist and he hates certain groups and Beto O'Rourke. You know, Amy, if you've got people that have mental health issues, let's just cut to the chase. They've got mental health issues. They've been bullied. They're ostracized. Maybe they're ostracized from their family. They're confused about their faith. Maybe they've experienced some kind of a life-changing event. They were abused or drug abusers, whatever. And then all of a sudden you have these political leaders selling this narrative through their own rhetoric that Trump is a racist that needs to be stopped. And then we're surprised when somebody goes out like this guy in Dayton who was going to implement socialism all by himself. The things he was saying were the very things he was hearing his own party say.
Yeah, this Dayton guy, a registered Democrat and gun control advocate. More with Michael Hart after this. We'll talk about a lack of godliness in the USA.
We must seek real bipartisan solutions. We have to do that in a bipartisan manner that will truly make America safer and better for all. First, we must do a better job of identifying and acting on early warning signs. I am directing the Department of Justice to work in partnership with local, state, and federal agencies, as well as social media companies, to develop tools that can detect mass shooters before they strike. As an example, the monster in the Parkland High School in Florida had many red flags against him, and yet nobody took decisive action. Nobody did anything. Why not? Second, we must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. It is too easy today for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence.
President Trump speaking today about two mass shootings that took up to, I believe at this point, it's 31 lives. Dayton, Ohio, El Paso, Texas, that were just this weekend, just hours apart. We're with Michael Hart of the Heart of America show, the author of Unknown America. He's got a vast depth of knowledge about our history and how we got to here. And, you know, Michael, it's just so evident. You don't need to hear the famous quote. You have to, know your history, so not to repeat any of the mistakes. Democrats talk about gun problems, but conservatives talk about heart problems and soul problems and a lack of godliness in America. Are there any answers? How can it be simplified?
Well, I think the president, you know, hit on a lot of key points. And I said this morning, maybe we'd be better off in this country if everybody just took a 30 or even 180-day moratorium on social media. So much of it seems to come from there. But we really do have mental health issues in this problem. In this country was the problem. Then we don't address them, Amy. You know, we simply sweep them under the rug. It's real easy to talk about guns and gun control. You know, where was the rhetoric on Thursday and Friday of last week? Was the world any safer then? Why are we only hearing it directly in the aftermath of these events? So, you know, we've got the social media responsibility. But then again, you know, one of the things I did last week before going out of town is I started the Heart of America YouTube channel, where we're doing these 20 and 30 minute long features where we're, you know, we're using video to demonstrate some of the things we talk about on the air. And the last one that I did is called Stupid America. And we go back to 1931 in West Virginia. And we all take this eighth grade graduation test to compare and contrast where we are in this country today. But the reason I did that and the reason I'm sharing this with you is we have dumbed down the American population to train them for the jobs that are actually available. And we teach to the test so government schools don't lose government funding. So now the government's taken over the school systems. The states have to comply to get their dollars. In Parkland, as was pointed out with the red flags with Cruz, Parkland schools in that area, the Florida schools rather in that area, had a policy of not turning in troubled students under a federal program that would have penalized them for having too many students that are having too many red flag or behavioral issues.
I remember that.
That's exactly the problem in this country. It's government. We got to get the government out of the way. They regulate schools. They regulate the mental health programs that are out there. Obamacare gutted a lot of these essential services for the mental patients. And I'm not going to let the blame squarely at his feet, but we have a mental health crisis in this country, exacerbated by the false and phony world perpetrated in part by social media.
It's too much. It is big government. What are your callers saying right now, Michael? What's the sentiment out there?
Well, you know, essentially, I just gave it to you. You know, they're frustrated with it because, you know, here in Alabama, a lot of people carry weapons. You know, we have a lot of gun sports that are down here. I personally carry for my own protection, but my own enjoyment. I enjoy shooting. We have gun ranges all over the place. Ironically enough, we're not seeing a whole lot of mass shootings down here. Of course, I said that knocking on wood, but the point still remains the same is that, you know, we are, I'm not going to say we're any more Christian than other parts of the country. I don't have the right to make that claim. But at the end of the day, we do have
a reason, Michael. So.
Well, I get that. But, you know, we do have more churches down here than pizza joints. I wish New York could say the same. But the point still remains the same is that, you know, we still have God in school here. We still pray before our high school football games. We still pray at our PTA meetings that are down here. You know, and so we still have an essence of God, although we get challenged on it pretty frequently. But there's also this thing of cultural accountability. You know, particularly in the Deep South, if you step out of line, we're going to whack you back. We're going to give you an attitude adjustment if need be. But the point still remains the same, Amy, that there needs to be accountability, and we need to have the nucleus families back together again, prayer in school, even if it's just optional, and stop punishing people for the Christian faith while we're celebrating those who are Jehovah's Witnesses or Muslims or Druids or I don't care what they are. They can be Wiccan for all I care, but we've stripped Christianity of its power and its influence in this country. It's not the guns. The guns are symptomatic of a much larger problem.
It is such a sorrowful fact in so many major cities around the country and the particular states we can name, but everyone knows them when they take God even more and more out of school and celebrate things that are just not what this country is based on. The 2020 hopefuls, Michael, you know, they are making their names by becoming more and more left. And what should they have done? Beto O'Rourke came out and said, you know, it is Trump, and they all have to come out and say, you know, specific things to try to get attention. President Trump is calling for them to come together and saying, you know, we can come together and try to fix this in a bipartisan manner, but we've got to stop trying to blame each side and figure out how we can work together. It seems so basic, but it's so very true.
Amy, in the most realistic sense, I can give it to you. If Donald Trump somehow, and he doesn't have the power or authority to do it, but if Donald Trump was somehow able to single-handedly rectify the gun violence in this country, obliterate it, eliminate it, you would never see a Democrat elected president again in this country. And they know it. They cannot allow him to have that power. They have got to have him own this issue. And by doing all the rhetoric, what they're doing is they're forcing him to act on an issue that he cannot single-handedly repair. This is not an executive branch issue. If government is going to play a role, and this should be a role be played, it needs to be a legislative response and not an executive branch response. And I'm not talking about anything to do with the repeal of the Second Amendment or even restrictions upon it. But there's not a chance in the world they're going to do anything to help Donald Trump resolve this issue, because even if Donald Trump played a minor role, since he's president, he gets credit for it, mm-hmm. and history books will treat him as the president that ended mass shootings for all time. There's not a chance in the world. The only thing bigger news than that would be the resurrection of the Lord mm-hmm. in their minds, and they cannot have that either.
Yeah, they cannot have President Trump be responsible for such a remedy. You're right. Michael, want to take the last minute and talk about, I always love your show. I listen to it today because you always have a This Day in History, which corresponds with your book. And in 1861, something very special happened in the USA.
I'll call it special, all right. It was the very first income tax we got in this country to help pay for the Civil War. And, you know, of course, you know, Lincoln's greenbacks, and eventually it was repealed. And we've had several other attempts at it over the years to repeal the income tax, that is. And, of course, now we talk a lot about fair tax and things like that. But, yeah, it was on this date in 1861 that we got our very first bill for the paying of the income tax. And one of the reasons we did this was because the second central bank, the charter for the second central bank had expired at this point in time, which the elimination of the income tax also gave us the momentum to go into the Federal Reserve Banking Act, and we all pretty much know how that ended. But yeah, very interesting date in American history.
I love all these facts, and we've got to have you on just to talk about things like this again, Michael, but there's always so much political news of the day. Can't thank you enough, though. The book is Unknown America, and Michael, your website, we will head there and find you. Can't thank you enough for your time.
Perils of the internet and social media cannot be ignored, and they will not be ignored. In the two decades since Columbine, our nation has watched with rising horror and dread as one mass shooting has followed another, over and over again, decade after decade. We cannot allow ourselves to feel powerless. We can and will stop this evil contagion. In that task, we must honor the sacred memory of those we have lost by acting as one people. Open wounds cannot heal if we are divided.
President Trump sounding off on the mass shootings from over the weekend, and the fact that so much of it, of course, does have to do with mental health. We're with Kristen Sinana Walker, this segment of the Mental Health News Radio Network. And Kristen, welcome back. You have such a vast knowledge and background on so many subjects here. And obviously, no one has the profound, definite answers to things like this. But did want to give you a chance to talk about anything that you wanted to that's associated with this. We know that what you do and what so many others do is work toward destigmatizing mental health issues so people can get help. And so a lot of things can be avoided, not just mass shootings, because, again, I don't want to minimize what right. happened here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what President Trump is saying is that, you know, social media helps these things spread like wildfire, and
which you
helps
talk about all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I am not a proponent of saying it's an awful thing. It does a lot to help. Think of the Amber Alerts and how many children are found because we have access to social media. Sure. I just think using it responsibly and having, you know, some kind of governance over what kind of information goes out is a really wise thing. And who polices that, I do not know. But obviously, this is having a profound impact, and it's been getting worse and worse and worse on our mental health.
Yeah, supposedly no one does except for the people who run the platforms. And there's always this question, should the government get involved? And people, you know, a lot of people say no, hands off, but we need way more responsibility. But it's such a, as you say, when you talk about social media, Kristen, it mirrors what you can say about computers. They can be used for very, very bad things or very good things. So, it, again, it almost like it is a heart and soul issue. and not a gun issue or just a online issue, I guess.
Right. I mean, people have to remember that they're utilizing a tool that gives them access to everything. And I think that's what's so difficult about it. It's why I call social media rage the new road rage, because when you're in that car, you forget that you're driving something that could kill other people. And so when you're on social media and you're leaving your remarks and you're not thinking, you're not conscious about what you're doing, those words can kill people. They can affect someone's life, many hundreds of thousands of people's lives. And we don't think about that when we post online. And that's part of the problem.
And words can be the harshest thing, and people can deny it. But they ruminate with people. And the old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That is so not true, Kristen. And social media just gives so much ammunition for people. Someone like you who has worked on a suicide crisis hotline, who spent decades trying to give back to help people, and you were just written up in Forbes magazine. We're going to talk about that in a minute, about all your successes and how you do give back. What does someone like you think when you see two more mass shootings just hours apart in one weekend?
I'm just heartbroken. And I think, when are we going to do something? And I don't have the answers other than we have to take a look at ourselves and look at our own conscience and look at what it is that we're doing and what's been created and look at how this actually has become an addiction, this addiction to information. It's become an addiction. People like to shy away from that word, but that is exactly what's going on.
Kristen, I'm just going to say, we'll get back to this in a moment. We're going to hear a little bit more sound from President Trump and what he wants to do about situations like this and trying to flag people, which is hugely controversial. You can't ever know who should be flagged and who shouldn't, but maybe there are some markers that people like you know about and can foretell. But I do want to mention this Forbes article and all the attention you're getting for all the good work you are doing. It says you are making the world a better place through your podcast, and we have a link, Forbes.com. It talks about your background and how you gravitated toward, I'm not going to let this make me a victim. Instead, I'm going to help other people, and I'm going to give my all to it. And you can read about it just by doing a search with Kristen. This is just about a week or two ago at Forbes.com. Just so proud to know you, Kristen.
Thanks, Amy. I so do not like to toot my own horn, but I feel like any kind of publicity that I might get being the founder of the network just shines a spotlight on all of the 50-plus podcasters we have that do such tremendous work in the world.
For sure. And you know, the article notes that you were, as they say, quote, prey of someone with narcissistic personality disorder. And so many times we can see people who are victims of any kind of personality disorder around us, whether it's bosses, parents, siblings, someone, spouses. And what is it, Kristen? I mean, how can you empower our viewers? How can people do what you did by making it empower you rather than saying, I'm a victim, I'm just going to fall apart? Because people need people like you who offer this strength. We want to know more about it.
Well, I think the first thing you can do is read as much as possible and also listen to podcasts where people like me will talk about it, the uncomfortable, the cringeworthy times that you had, and that all of and hear all of the different stages that you go through. I mean, they liken things like Stockholm syndrome, trauma bonding, things like that, to someone who's in that kind of a relationship. And that's all very true. It's like being with a cult leader. Sure. And, you know, you cringe at your own behavior in that relationship. But the way to work yourself out of it is to deal with that, to listen to other people and listen to their stories. So you can go, they did that, they experienced that. Okay, I'm not the only one. I think the biggest thing with this is narcissism. People with that kind of a disorder want to isolate you from everyone else. Mm-hmm. And they do it very well. And one of the ways to get yourself out of being isolated is to hear other voices. So that would be my first tack. That and some counseling with a counselor that knows what this kind of abuse is.
A wealth of counsel. I mean, that's even a quote from the Bible. Because people will be in relationships, and they if you're like, you and I have talked about empaths, people who have a heart for other people. So they might be around someone who's not good for them, but they have such a heart for them and feel for them that they stick around and try to help. And you help people overcome that. And it's really hard to discern.
It's very hard to discern because let me tell you, there's nothing like someone with narcissistic personality disorder who can play a victim better than anyone else.
Wow.
So it's really hard when you're that caring, loving person to realize, ah, this person is lying.
Wow.
This person believes that they're a victim. Absolutely. That's part of the character disorder and they're not here for you. They're all about them. It's wow. really hard to unwind from that.
It's so interesting because people like me, who haven't been around such a thing can only imagine. But people who hear you speaking right now, our viewers and listeners might say, you know, this might have been something I had been a victim of. Kristen, we're heading toward a break, but we have some other amazing topics that you can find on your network at any time, but we're going to focus on them. Teenage emotional wastelands. Adolescents have a hard time recognizing negative emotions and why people are hiding their financial background from new loves. Stay tuned with Kristen.
We must reform our mental health laws to better identify mentally disturbed individuals who may commit acts of violence and make sure those people not only get treatment, but when necessary, involuntary confinement.
Back with Kristen Sunata Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Kristen, this just all reflects on the history of America where we had, you know, just horror stories of people in confinement who could be confined by people who had nefarious purposes. And then the early 70s when things really turned around and people were sort of, I guess you could say, let out. And I don't mean to simplify this, but there are far fewer people in confinement for psychiatric purposes than there used to be. It provides a problem on both sides. Do you want to comment on this, again, very, very complex issue?
Yeah, it is a complex issue. And I'd say, you know, where you're seeing people end up is in our prison system, and that is not where they belong. So it's not okay to just put people away into mm-hmm. mental health institutions, but it's also not okay to put these people in prison. They need help and the reduction of stigma around it so that people feel okay with getting help and having financial resources to help fund appropriate treatment is really what we need. There's our middle ground, in my opinion. So we don't go back to the way things were when we just mm-hmm. threw the key away, and we also don't continue what we have, which is a prison system that is not designed to handle mental health care.
Sure, and in each case, each individual is, again, as it says, inherently so individual. Each
Absolutely.
Case, each trauma, each whatever someone is going through is so it's in their heart and soul and their brain and what they have gone through that there is just no simple explanation or simple remedy to just apply to a swath of people. And that's one thing that makes it so hard. I'm sure to be continued, we'll be chatting about it much, much more. But one of the topics that you've been talking about recently during your podcast is the teenage emotional wasteland and how adolescents have a hard time recognizing negative emotions. And it makes me almost think, is that one, you know, facet of what plays into this, Kristen?
Well, we're talking about hormones.
Well, that's always up for question.
Right.
There's no good.
Exactly. Watch out for those. They'll get you. Yeah. I mean, you know, what everything is going to happen right now. And there's, you know, the first love is the greatest love you've ever felt. I mean, we talk about this with, you know, with teenagers, everything is in the moment. And so you can look over and gloss over, not even recognize anger, toxic behavior, negativity, just because you're so caught up in your hormones, in the fact that everything is about right now. That's what makes being a teenager so challenging.
You know, it's so true. And I've even heard people say, you know, my child, my teenager, we didn't know if it was hormonal stuff or whether they did have the family history of, you know, whether it's manic depression or, right. you know, a subtle depression or any of these tendencies, because so much comes into play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then think about how we used to compare people, you know, by what they wore to school that day. And it was just that person. You get to go home and you're done with it. Well, now, you know, no, it's not just that person. It's on Instagram and Snapchat. And then you go home and it's still there walking around with you on your phone. They don't get a break. So the feeding of that emotional, you know, soup is really, it's stoked constantly. They really don't get a break. And that really is hampering their brain development. And it's also hampering their emotional development.
You know, this research from this recent study shows how we experience emotions differently from ages 5 up to 25 and how adolescents can be especially vulnerable. And you almost look at it and say, boy, aren't we studying that all the time? Because it's so at the crux of a lot of things. But this particular study shows that researchers studied 143% participants between the ages of what I just mentioned, and they completed a number of emotion-related tasks, and they were asked to define 27 different emotional terms, and they took five of those terms, angry, disgusted, sad, scared, and upset, and right. used them in a follow-up emotional differentiation task. What are we supposed to learn from studies like these?
Well, I think we need to really pay attention to the fact that the vocabulary of a teenager is, and the heightened sense of all of their feelings is you know, true to their age. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need a long living in life and lots of failures and lots of, oh, I did survive this breakup with whoever, I didn't die from it, all of these different things. I did survive failing this class or whatever, you know, whatever's going on. They don't know that because it feels so mm-hmm. heightened, and their vocabulary is a reflection of their age. Now, under calmer, you know, times, I mean, I had a great vocabulary as a teenager, but if I was taking a test, forget it. I had about a 5-word vocabulary too, so.
The stress. Yeah, and they haven't had that experience of knowing, you know, this happened, I can get through it. And, you know, it's hard for everybody, but especially when you're a teen, not having the previous experience. And Kristen, I always feel for parents because you still have this teen who's a child, so you have to still feel the weight of your responsibility. But then you have to give them wings to be able to have that independence. It's such a fine line.
It is. And I think, you know, the biggest thing, I know Dr. Huber, when he comes on, talks about this too.
One of your podcasters, sure.
That's right. Let them fail. Oh my gosh, the best lesson is failing. And we do a lot of coddling, and that really doesn't do anyone any good.
Oh boy. Got about a minute left. I wanted to give you some time, and I know you hate to brag, but what else are you focusing on? If you want to chat more about this topic, or what else can we find if we head to your website today and see the trending mental health topics, Kristen?
Well, you know, the trending topic, of course, is about the mass shootings, which we just talked about. But I think also, you know, right now people are really focused on what President Trump just talked about, the advent of social media and how do we police this thing? That's a huge topic. And I'm a little surprised at how much it's been coming up when it's been kind of quiet. So maybe after watching today's, you know, programs will take it more seriously.
It is great. I'll bet it's very edifying for people like you to see the President of the United States and other lawmakers and leaders acknowledging that these can be issues. And again, as you say, to be used for good or nefarious purposes. Right. And we need to just somehow do better. But again, a very complex issue, right?
Absolutely.
Kristen, what's your website where we can find you and all your great podcasters?
Anyone can go to mentalhealthnewsradionetwork.com. And if you don't want to type, you can just type in mhnrnetwork.com and that'll take you there.
And check out the article on Forbes.com. Kristen, we're proud to know you and we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for your time on America Trends. You bet.
Hey, come on. Oh, shit.
right. Can't thank you enough for being with us here for the Hour for America Trends on YouTube America and Biz Talk Radio. Find us 24/7 on our websites, YouTubeAmerica.com. You can go there, click around. We have a lot of great shows on the network. Veronica Daver, she's a horror show mistress on Saturday nights, and she will be the purveyor of all your favorite shows. There she is. She's lovely. And we've got the Big Biz Show with Sully and Russ. Very funny. Man Cave stuff. You can click through to find us easily on social media. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And we also have a YouTube page now. So, YouTube and YouTube America. You can find streaming and on demand at any time. So we hope to see you there, and we can all be friends and be social as it was. For which it was invented. We also thank Michael Hart of Heart of America for coming on and offering his political perspective on the stories of the day. And Kristen Sonata Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Hey, as much as we whine about mainstream media, you can almost sort of scan the history of journalism, and especially broadcast journalism, with the history of one man who's now passed. But a new documentary on Mike Wallace is just out, and we want to share it with you. And enjoy this as we say goodbye for now.
What you're about to witness is strictly personal, a direct, undiluted, unrehearsed, uncensored interview. My role is that of a reporter.
The mention of my first guest's name has been known to strike fear into the hearts of brave men and women.
I'm Mike Wallace.
I'm Mike Wallace.
I'm Mike Wallace.
I'm Mike Wallace.
He was tough as nails, never took orders from anybody.
Why are you sometimes such a prick?
People didn't ask tough questions back then. You invented that genre.
You're not answering the specific question that I put.
You ask tough questions that get behind the facade. I've never seen an interview that you did not dominate.
It was my first.
I'll ask the question, please.
You're a son of a bitch. Do you know that?
Oh, come on.
You are
Barbara.
A son of a bitch.
The folks at CBS News said, come up with an idea.
This is 60 Minutes.
We were experimenting. We were trying to find out what worked and what didn't work.
Nobody thought it was going to last.
That's when we began to do the real investigative stuff.
We were doing things that were revolutionary.
You've got no right to be here. I ask you to leave.
People started to tune in to see what Mike was going to be up to next.
There is a new billionaire in town. Trump's the name.
I don't think it's journalism. I think it's show business.
Television journalism has been coming under recent criticism. Some polls have shown that public confidence is eroding.
U.S. Army General William Westmoreland today filed suit against CBS Incorporated.
The press is contemptible. I'd like you to get out of here.
Are you aware that what you're doing is seriously endangering people?
If you've got a hell of a story on your hands,
go after it.
Temptation is for television news to go easy.
Is Russia a democracy?
What we're defending is the people's right to know.